Haunted Halls, Hidden History, an Avengers fanfic written by CN Wrights and read by 42 Do Not Panic. This fic is rated for general audiences. Summary: in which Clint Barton is not the only Avenger without superpowers, but is just what he would prefer everyone to believe. Now more than ever, he remembers why.
Stark, are you in position? Roger, Stars and Stripes.
Comlink crackled with Tony's voice, and the sound carried the lower hum of engines with it.
Ready to storm the place. Time to go. Hold your place. Wait till everyone is accounted for. Natasha? In position.
Natasha wasted no time or extra breath with her reply, as per usual.
Good. Banner? Still in the Quintet.
Bruce's voice echoed slightly in the metal hull of the ship.
Ready to extract if necessary. Good. Barton?
I've been bored out of my mind for the past 20 minutes. Can we get on with it? Then drawled, rolling his eyes as he resisted the urge, not for the first time in the past half hour, to toss one of the little pedals by his foot out of the small ventilation slits in front of him. He could see a few people milling about far below him. They couldn't hear his voice, not over the hum of the regular air conditioning around him, but they would certainly notice if a pebble dropped in front of them. That was entirely unfair, of course, but it was the nature of his job. This is an easy one. I was in position ages ago.
It looks easy on the surface. Let's not get cocky.
Clint rolled his eyes again at that. The mission looked easy because it was easy. This facility was run by some wannabe Hydra splinter group. The security was laughably lax, at least for a mission that had apparently required 5 of the 6 Avengers. The only reason that S.H.I.E.L.D. had even bothered sending them out was the fact that this group had managed to pull together some sort of enhanced attack team that kept showing up, even after they had been beaten badly. It was nothing special. Realistically, he and Natasha could have taken this mission on their own easily. Still, there was the aspect of team building. There was something that Fury had seemed weirdly set on for the past few months after New York. He kept sending the team out on as many missions together as possible, with as many of them active as possible. Most of the time, it seemed like overkill for whatever they were sent to do. Clint didn't mind. It was fun to rile someone up other than Natasha while he was on the clock.
Okay, look out, everyone.
Finally. Clint didn't bother to respond to Steve's order as he pulled back the arrow that he had kept knocked for the past 15 minutes. The spring tightened beautifully beneath his fingers, and Clint hardly had to study the distance for more than a second before he let the arrow fly. The metal shaft sung as it whipped between the slats of the vent cover. The gravity was perfect, working with his shot as it helped to take the arrow straight to its target. Within 10 seconds of Steve's order, the arrow had struck the control panel below. Not a single one of the guards noticed what was happening before the facility was plunged into darkness. Lights out. Clint murmured into the comlink, grinning at the shouts of surprise from below. 3 more arrows slipped through his fingers without hesitation. The night vision goggles over his eyes allowing him to see as the 3 guards in the control room fell before they could even wonder what hit them.
Tony's in.
Bruce reported from over the comlink, and Clint took that as his cue to start making his way further down the vent shaft.
He's in, and, well, Clint and Natasha have already been in.
You know it. Clint muttered, this time just to himself. He kept his comm turned off as he huffed in the fragrant air of the vent, keenly aware of the shouting beneath him. He had taken out the guards that were in the control room, but that did not mean that there weren't others who would take a shot in the dark if he were to spend the whole mission mouthing off to the group. Plus, if they all kept their comms on the entire time, it would be impossible to focus. He knew for a fact that Natasha's end would be full of the noise of breaking bones if she had her comm on at the same moment. Even Tony Stark hadn't managed to invent a communication device that would filter out Natasha's level of hand-to-hand combat yet. Clint dropped to the ground just 2 vent turns later, after quickly taking out a few stray guards that hadn't been caught up in Tony's distraction over on the north side of the complex. The warm air of the room was a nice change from the freezing vents that he had been in for the better part of an hour, but it made Clint let out a small breath of relief before he turned to face the door in front of him. "I've got eyes on the target," Clint said as he opened up his end of the comms. "The room, at least."
"And who heads down?"
Natasha spoke up. The air behind her voice was eerily silent. She must have dealt with all of the foes in her area already.
"I've got access. You two head in."
Steve spoke up, his ends of the comm crackling with the sound of shouting. He must still be dealing with a few guards.
I've still got a bit to clean up over here. I'll...
Steve's voice was cut off by a sudden crash, and Clint blinked in surprise as the sharp string of Russian curses burst over the line. Natasha must have turned off her comm because there was another crash after it, and then another sharp swear.
Romanov? Stark was just thrown through my hallway.
Natasha reported sharply.
He has hostiles on him. It looks like our enhanced targets have decided to come and play. Change of plans. Widow, head start.
There was another half-muffled shout from Steve's end of the comms, and it was cut off with a low thud that Clint could only assume was his shield.
Barton, stay where you are. I spotted Clarence car too. I'll meet you there.
Roger, Rogers. Clint said quickly, though he was already frowning at the keypad in front of him. It looked nice. Far nicer than anything else in the building. This particular room had much more security around it, even if most of the guards had been pulled away by Tony's initial destruction. But it was still just a keypad. The entire place already knew that they were there. Stealth certainly wasn't an option, so why leave the thing intact? You sure I should just put an aura through it?
Stay where you are, I'm 4 holes from you.
Clint rolled his eyes, trying to ignore the itch of the back of his neck at Steve's words. It was fine. These orders were necessary, and they made sense. None of the half-right goons that Clint had taken out had the clearance level for this room. That was why Steve and Natasha had gone in through the higher levels, in order to try and track someone down with a keycard access so they could swipe the card, then infiltrate the room. These orders were ones that he was choosing to follow. Nothing more. They certainly weren't the orders that he had been forced to listen to back before S.H.I.E.L.D. Clint had managed to quiet the nagging voice at the back of his mind by the time that Steve burst through the door. The super soldier strode forward easily, hardly even breathing heavily as he gave Clint a quick nod. There was a small tear in his uniform, and Clint was glad to see that there wasn't even a trace of blood on the fabric. He always liked working with a super soldier. There was no guilt about his hidden abilities with Steve. The calm conversation that was crackling in his ear told a different story.
The Stark need evac? Nope. All he got is a bruised ego. Excuse you, Miss Widow, but you are not the one that was just thrown through a wall.
Tony let out a dramatic sigh over the con line that made Clint snort.
But I'm fine, Brucie. Thanks for the check-in. Legolas, Captain France, we're en route.
Tony sounded completely fine, and that nearly made Clint sigh in relief. There was a small sigh from Steve, and Clint couldn't help but grin as he glanced over at the other man. The long-suffering look on his face painted the 70 years that he had spent on ice pretty clearly. He clicked his comlink on, and Clint watched as he spoke. Stark, we have official code names for a reason.
What reason? It's not like you ever use them, Lieutenant Patriot.
Steve seemed to bite back another sigh, and Clint barely stopped himself from chuckling. Instead, he stepped forward and inclined his head toward the door, reminding Steve of the mission. The man seemed to snap to attention and nodded quickly. Barton and I are going to advance. You two cover our backs and catch up when you can, Steve said quickly. He didn't bother to wait for Tony's response before striding forward again. A small silver keycard was wiped out of his pocket, and Clint watched as he quickly swiped it across the scanner. The door swung open with ease, and the two of them advanced through it. When they had been given the assignment, Clint had asked where this particular room had been their focus. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s ever-eloquent answer had been a simple one. They did not know. The mission as a whole was a simple one. Get in, get any relevant information, destroy everything else, and get out. And thus the plan was simple as well. The biggest issue that the mission had presented were the enhanced individuals that the group had recruited, and this room was the one that the few of them seemed to frequent the most. In fact, it seemed to be the room with the most traffic out of the entire facility, especially after the group was particularly active. They were a very physical sect, so it made sense that they would have a room to act as a meeting place after their mission. That alone was enough to make it seem important. Plus, it was the only room in the building that had protection against infrared and X-ray. Clearly, there was something in that room that the group did not want anyone to see. Despite all of this, Clint had no idea what to expect when he stepped through the strange, secure door. He certainly did not expect to see people. Steve's shield was up the second that they walked over the door's threshold, and Clint had an arrow knocked in his string the moment that he realized the room was occupied. He kept the bow taut as he looked around, his night vision goggles humming lightly as he stared into the darkness. Not a single one of the three people in the room stared back. All of them had their head bowed, their backs straight against the chairs that they were sitting in at the back of the room. They didn't move a muscle when Steve and Clint entered. For a moment, Clint thought they might be dead. Bruce, Steve muttered, his voice crackling across the comlink as he took a cautious step forward. Can you tell me what you're looking at?
I have no idea. My guess would be enhanced individuals, but none of them are the ones that S.H.I.E.L.D. have reported on being affiliated with the group.
Bruce's voice was overlaid by the noise of a clacking keyboard, and Clint could picture the way that the scientist was probably squinting at his feet from their goggles.
I'm doing some cross-referencing now. Are they hostile?
They haven't done anything yet, Clint muttered, but his bowstring remained taut. He took a slow step forward as Steve continued to move, and found that he could not quite match the super soldier's pace. There was something nagging at the back of his mind, something that made it hard for him to approach the motionless people. Hello? Steve tried, his voice careful as he continued forward. His eyes darted back to Clint briefly, but it was long enough for him to understand the meaning. These people were likely enhanced, based on the research they had done. They were likely enhanced, which meant they were likely dangerous. Still, that did not explain why they were so listless. It did not explain the lack of reaction that they gave as Steve continued to advance with Clint creeping along just behind him. They should be doing something. Do you know what this is, Clint? Steve asked in a low voice. Clint wished that he knew the answer. But the only thing that he had was a nagging sense of dread in his gut. Shut off, Romanov, I'm fine. Clint glanced quickly over his shoulder to see Tony and Natasha stepping through the door after them. Based on the annoyed look on Tony's face and the small smirk that graced Natasha's, the crash through the wall really had only bruised Stark's ego. Still, his armor looked as though it had been done in. There were several parts dented, and the glove on his right hand was almost entirely gone. More significantly, there was a bit of a cut running down his temple, and Clint could feel the familiar twinge in his gut at the sight of the blood on his teammate. He quickly pushed those feelings to the side. Bruce was waiting with the medical kit on the Quinjet. They had done this routine enough times now for Clint to know that any injuries out in the field would be quickly dealt with. He and Natasha exchanged a quick nod before she said, "I'll be outside," and turned to slip back out of the door. Tony rolled his eyes at that. "I still think I would have been a better sentry," he muttered, pointedly ignoring Clint's look of disbelief as he took a step forward. The man barked slightly at the sight of the three motionless people, and he let out a low whistle. "Creepy. Want to fill me in on what this is?" "We don't know," Steve said slowly. He was nearly across the room at this point, his shield held out carefully as he made his way closer to the three figures. "We're guessing enhanced, but..." "They're acting weird," Tony supplied and snorted when Steve gave him a nod. "Well, I've already been thrown through a wall once today." "Tony..." Clint started, but it was a bit too late. Tony was already halfway across the room, quickly overtaking Steve as he approached the person nearest to him. The person was a woman. A woman with stringy black hair and a bowed head who didn't even look up as Tony stepped upright in front of her. "Hey," the man said quickly, utterly ignoring Steve's protests as he reached out a hand. "Want to tell us what's going on here, or..." As Tony was speaking, he cut off with a jerk. Clint's bow was raised before he even saw the woman move, but he hesitated just long enough for her to grab Tony's outstretched hand. It was his right one, the one that was practically unarmored, and Clint watched as Tony gasped slightly. The man stumbled back, and Clint stepped forward, ready to lose his arrow into the woman's brains, but Tony held up his hand towards him. He quickly swiped one across his forehead, the spot where Clint had seen a trickle of blood just minutes before, and he watched as Tony pulled his hand away. The billionaire made eye contact with him, and Clint's eyes widened as he saw Tony's face. In just a few seconds, the gash that had been above his eye completely disappeared. "She's a healer," Tony breathed, and suddenly the dread in Clint's gut made sense. "A healer?" Steve's shield dropped ever so slightly, and he took another step forward. Tony motioned to his injury-free forehead, and Steve glanced at the other two people. There was one woman and one man in addition to the woman who had touched Tony. The other woman hardly looked older than a child. And the others? At this point, Steve was about as close to the seated people as Tony was, and Clint watched as he reached his hand just slightly in the direction of one of them. It was the youngest one, the one who looked as though she might still be a child, and Clint saw the way that she began to reach her hand out as soon as Steve came into arm's reach. There were thin, silver circlets attached to each of her wrists, and Clint could hear the soft clinking of chains when she moved. As she reached out, her face tilted up just slightly, and Clint was able to see the dead set to her eyes. It was as if there was nothing there. It was as if all of this was just a trained reaction, as if she hardly even knew that she was moving, and utterly hated the familiarity that twisted in his gut. Whoa. Steve breathed. He pulled his hand back, watched as the girl dropped hers, and then held his bag out and watched as she lifted it again. It was almost robotic, the way that she moved, and the faint rattle of chains made her seem even more metallic. Steve took a generous step away, then glanced over at Tony with a twisted expression. Does anyone know what's going on? They're healers, Steve. Tony said, as if it were the most obvious thing in the world. He moved closer to the woman on the end again, and watched as her hand reached out mechanically before he shook his head in disbelief. They're healers that have been here for a while, by the looks of it. Something tells me it's not by choice. Not by choice? Steve echoed. Tony, what are you talking about? Come on, they had people with healing powers back in your day, didn't they, Capsicle? Tony cocked his eyebrow at Steve as he spoke. You had to deal with the war. Healers were in high demand, weren't they? Yeah, of course, but there weren't as many as there are now, Steve said slowly. His voice sounded almost hollow as he looked at the people in front of him, as if he was trying to process Tony's implications. We had a couple healers, but they were paid a lot to keep them on our side. Or someone paid a lot for them. Tony tried to reach for the woman's bonds, but the moment that his hand came into arm's reach, she began to try and reach for him. Clint could easily imagine the hundreds of times that people must have entered this room and matched up to the healers to make them react like that. The three of them must just be expecting to heal now, no matter who it was that approached them. Tony pulled his hand away. The black market was a thing in the 1940s, right? Tony, these are people. Yeah, I know that, but the group that they've been healing obviously doesn't. Look at them. Tony gestured to the three figures pointedly. When his hand strayed too close to the man in the middle, he began to reach out just like the two women had. All three of them looked utterly exhausted. These people have been using their powers non-stop, by the look of it. Steve watched the way that the man in the middle reacted with a stricken expression. Meanwhile, Clint stayed rooted where he was, several feet away from the three healers. There was a strange detachment in his chest as he watched his friends watch these individuals. He felt as though he was hardly in the room, hovering just on the edge of a bad nightmare that his brain had managed to cook up. That's why the enhanced keep coming back whenever they're beaten, Tony continued thoughtfully, snapping his fingers as though he had just snapped together pieces of a puzzle. All they have to do is come back here and heal up. This group is more of a threat than we thought. Because they have healers? Because they have three. Do you know how much the services of one healer cost as a one-time thing? Tony shook his head in disbelief. These people have to be stupid rich, and that's coming from me. I hate to say it, but I don't think I could even afford to buy one of these people off the black market if I was looking to buy that kind of thing. But you're not. Tony and Steve both glanced up, and it took Clint a moment to realize that he was the one talking. He hadn't even noticed that he had opened his mouth, and he only now realized just how dry it was. You're not. So let's just get them out of here, okay? Finn's right, Steve said quickly, and it looked as though the man was shaking himself off. He stepped forward, and Clint could feel the relief that settled over his shoulders when the man approached the little girl. He nodded to Tony. Come on, you get one, I've got one. Clint, you get the guy in the middle. It looks like they need help getting out. Clint did not flinch at the order. He did not flinch because there was no need to flinch. This was not a harsh order, one that he had to obey, and he was not 15. This wasn't a harsh voice telling him to heal over and over again. No one here knew he could do that. Not a single person in this room knew that, hovering beneath his skin, was the ability to fix any wound they may be stricken with. Not a single person in this room knew that he had been in this position just a few years earlier, chained up and forced to heal whatever person shoved the hand in his face. No one knew. Still, it took effort for him to unlock his limbs. It took effort for him to finally relax his bowstring, to slide his arrow back into his quiver, and to step forward. It took even more effort to dodge the man's hand when it reached out for him, and even more effort than that to shove down the memories of when he used to have the same reaction. Just reach out first. That's all they want from you. They'll get it anyway. Just get it over with. My head still hurts. Tony muttered somewhere to his side as Clint cut through the man's cuffs. There was hardly any reaction from the guy, and it made Clint wonder just how long he had been stuck cuffed to this chair. That probably didn't heal any of the blunt force trauma or concussions. Also, I think my ribs are definitely still bruised. I think she can only heal superficial wounds. Or was it just a time-based thing? She only touched me for a second. It doesn't matter, right? Glynn muttered. The man that he was trying to help had managed to wrap a hand around his wrist, and Glynn was more thankful than ever that he hadn't made any dumb moves on the way into the building. He could feel the healer searching for some kind of injury, but there was none to be found. Glynn had no idea how he would feel if this man healed him right now, even just a cut. It would probably be the straw that broke the strenuous composure he was managing to keep together. It could matter, Tony pointed out. We want to know where this group hired these people, right? Well, at least I do. Plus, a superficial healer is cheaper than a deep healer. A healer that can deal with bones, even over multiple sessions, rather than just cuts. Now that's expensive. I know, Clint bit back through gritted teeth. He tried to focus on helping the confused man stand up rather than the itch that crawled beneath his veins. I also know how awful healing bones is. I can't believe you didn't know about this, Boy Scout. Tony was still talking, as if he could care less that he was talking right over the heads of three incredibly disoriented and probably disassociating people who had obviously been forced to heal people for quite some time. The whole healer thing. I knew about it, Steve said, his voice still oddly distant as he spoke. He had already uncuffed the girl, and she was small enough that he had simply scooped her up in his arms. She had a hand on his bicep, and her face wrinkled in a confused frown as she tried to heal an injury that didn't exist. Because why else would someone hold her close? Clint's brain hissed unhelpfully. Steve didn't seem to have the heart to push her hand away. I just didn't know that it was this bad. Oh, it's bad, all right. There are entire sects of the blank market dedicated just to the sale of healers, even low-level ones. Just being able to heal a paper cut can be powerful. And some of these guys... Well, I've heard of healers that can stitch back up bullet wounds in seconds. Tony glanced back, and Clint hardly even realized the man was looking at him until he spoke. Does S.H.I.E.L.D. dabble in any of that, Katniss? The response that Clint gave was automatic, almost as robotic as the healer's movements. No, we stick to regular doctors. I don't think we have any agents with this sort of ability. You sure? Tony raised an eyebrow as he helped guide the black-haired woman to the door. She looked as though she was hardly there. Her head bowed and her eyes distanced, even though she was no longer actively reaching out to try and heal. Flynn couldn't help but think that he felt just as distant. Come on, S.H.I.E.L.D. has to have dealt with healers at some point. Have you seen anything like this? Yes, Flynn thought bitterly, his gut twitching with the truth of the statement. He had seen something like this. He had seen a setup like this, with chairs and chains and healers whose first reaction to a person approaching was to stretch out their hands, no matter who it was. He knew exactly what sort of thing were drilled into these people's heads. Heal this, don't ask questions. This is what you're good for. As they were forced to use their powers without consent. He knew what this was like. He knew exactly what this was like. I don't know, he said instead, and he ignored the way that the words sounded hollow in his own ears. He made sure they were believable enough. He could do that. He was a spy. He was able to do far more than just heal. He was good for more than that. And his voice showed it. If so, I wasn't on call. Tony shrugged. We'll have to call someone in S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm sure Fury'll know if there's anyone who knows how to deal with this. One thing is for sure, Steve cut in firmly as they walked. He found what this group wanted to protect. Not protect. Clint's brain hissed. Keep. They wanted to keep this, just like people tried to keep you. For the first time in years, Clint's wrist felt heavy, as if there were ghost shackles digging into his old scars. All he could do was ignore it as he helped transport the three overworked healers to the Quinjet and remind himself that no one knew. No one knew what he was. No one knew what he could do. This was exactly why he kept a secret, and Lynn was even more sure than ever that it would stay this way.